Log Talk Radio.
Hello, you people. Good morning and welcome. My name is Pat McNeil. I'm a columnist here at Pro Wrestling Torch, and this is the PW Torch Livecast WrestleMania post-game show. Our number is 515-605-9345. Looks like hopefully you guys are able to hear me now, and we're going to try this again. Greg Park should be calling in shortly, and we'll get this show underway. If you missed it, in the main event, it was Roman Reigns defeating The Undertaker after hitting him with God knows how many spears and Superman punches. Reigns gets the victory to a not very polite crowd reaction. After the match, Undertaker removes his hat, his coat, his gloves, leaves them in the ring, symbolizing that, yes, that was his last match. Although wrestling retirements are notoriously short-lived. We'll see how long that goes. In the other big matches on the show, it was Brock Lesnar defeating Bill Goldberg after hitting 10, count them 10, German suplexes and the F5. And that was it. Lesnar gets the title. Lesnar gets to kick out of the jackhammer before that. It was a relatively short match, but it was an exciting match, and they did a lot. And I don't think they could have gone much longer the way that was going. In the other featured match, Randy Orton is your new WWE World Champion, having defeated Bray Wyatt in a match that really did not... It was different than what you'd expect. The highlight of the match seemed to be Bray Wyatt getting the AV crew to project weird images onto the ring canvas, like maggots, earthworms, and cockroaches, and that freaked the crowd out. The crowd chanted, "This is creepy," at one point. Randy eventually won with the RKO. Let me go ahead, by the way, and bring our co-host into the program. His name is Greg Parks, and he'll be with us for the next 90 minutes or so. Hold on a moment. Let me make sure he is here. And let me just check on one more thing here before we get started. There we go. Greg Parks, welcome to the livecast. Hi.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm told everybody can hear me now.
I sure can.
So what was your reaction to the 5 hours and 12 minutes of the WrestleMania 33 main card?
I thought it was a thumbs up show, even with the staggering length and even with a second half of the card or last 2 hours or so that was certainly the matches I don't think were as good as the first half. It was kind of stacked that way. I think we were surprised when AJ Styles, Shane McMahon started the show, and it started off with some really strong bouts, and the end sort of dragged a little bit, as these kinds of shows do, where you're counting the pre-show, you're going from 5 p.m. Eastern until about midnight. So that didn't help, and the matches themselves sort of dragged toward the end as well, so that didn't help things. But looking at the overall picture, I thought it was still a thumbs up.
Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to go through the other matches that I didn't get to. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Hardy Boys showed up. They were added at the last minute to the Raw Tag Team Ladder Match, making it a four-way match. And, yes, Matt and Jeff Hardy are the... are the new WWE Tag Team Champions. I don't know if they're the champions of time and space, but they're the champions of time. They're the champions of 3 hours and 15 minutes of time every Monday anyway. So I'm sure we'll find out more about that tomorrow. On Raw, let's see. What else? What other big matches? Bayley retained the Raw Women's title in the four-way match, pinning Charlotte in the final finish. It was Naomi defeating Alexa Bliss in the SmackDown Women's Title six-way match. Kevin Owens is your new United States Champion, defeating Chris Jericho. Dean Ambrose kept the Intercontinental title by beating Baron Corbin. And Mojo Rawley won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And Neville kept the cruiserweight title. If I left out any matches, I'm sure we'll get to them in the course of the program, Greg. 515-605-9345. Tell you what we're going to do. We have on the VIP hotline, we are going to go to Michael from Northwest Virginia. Michael, you are on the WrestleMania post-game show on PW Torch Live.
Well, that is quite the introduction there.
We do what we can.
The first voice after WrestleMania went off the air. Listen, I personally think the card was booked very well from start to finish. I was not unpleased or necessarily surprised at the finishes of anything. I would point out from my notes, I was happy to see Mojo Rawley win tonight. The Andre Battle Royale after the people who you thought might win were going to win and they didn't. And then I was like, well, I'm going to cash in on Mojo. So, but after that, you know, the card went through pretty good. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the return of the Hardy Boys. They pulled a really big swerve tonight. I don't know if you follow Rebby on Twitter or Snapchat for that matter, but she posted She posted a snap tonight, and it was a big, what I called a big swerve. She said, we're airport bound at this point. And it was like 3 hours before WrestleMania, and I'm like, I ain't buying it. Your thoughts on that, and then I have a follow-up.
Okay, she and Senor Benjamin and Maxwell might have been airport bound, but evidently Matt and Jeff headed right over to the stadium after they hosted their tailgate party for Flow Slam earlier today. Greg?
Well, I think a lot of the debate was if the Hardys were coming into WWE, would you debut them here tonight at WrestleMania, or would you wait to have them do it on Raw? They did it here tonight, won the titles here tonight, which I think was the right call, the way it played out tonight. Tomorrow night with so much going on, if you've got Finn Balor coming back, if you've got anybody else, Nakamura, if he debuts tomorrow night or Tuesday night, you don't want to get the Hardys to kind of get lost in the shuffle, as crazy as it seems to think that returning at WrestleMania is not getting lost in the shuffle. But I think doing it tonight was the right call, putting them in this match, having the New Day of all teams be the one to introduce them back to the WWE universe. I liked how it played out tonight.
Yeah, that was a bit of a swerve in and of itself, because the New Day came out to make an announcement. They were dressed to wrestle. People thought that they were going to insert themselves into the match, but no. And just for the record, the Hardy Boys who debuted, they came out to their old WWE music in as close to the WWE gear as they could get. There was no broken heart. Well, they didn't get to talk for one thing, so we don't know how much of the Broken Hardy's character they're taking with you. And maybe that's something that they want to work out, you know, tomorrow instead of at Raw instead of tonight. We'll find out. If you're going to have them debut tonight, though, and you're going to put them in that match, there's no way that you could have them lose to Gallows and Anderson, for example, though. So I got to agree that's the call there.
Yeah.
Your follow up, Michael.
Did you feel that the Hardy at the end of the show? Couple follow ups. At the end of the show, did you feel by that time, because the Hardys came out at number 7 overall with the pre-show, did you forget about them, or are you looking forward to that coming on Raw? Number one. Number two, was it just me, or when Stephanie rode out on that motorcycle, she just looked plain out looked like the the mic bitch. And
well, you know what? I think for her it's a costume party. She dresses up once a year. You know, she comes out wearing whatever fantasy Triple H has for her, and you know, that's their deal, and it seems to work for them. And I can't really give her a hard time tonight because she got herself put through a table. Oh, spoiler alert! Seth won, and her husband accidentally knocked her through a table.
Right. Number three. Well, I'll say three and four. The women's SmackDown match got moved from.
You're getting three tonight. We're in kind of a hurry.
Okay. Well, I'll point this out. Why did the women's SmackDown match go from the pre-show to post-main event, or a pre-main event?
Because they felt that they had to do that to bring the crowd down after Goldberg and Lesnar before they got to Reigns and Undertaker. That's an old thing they do. They put a dead match in the semi-main event between two matches that they think are going to be hot.
But why that match, and why didn't they bring out all those people they flew in to, when they said every available person? There was all these rumors going around about all these people that were going to debut, and if you follow them on Snapchat or Instagram and everything, you saw all these names that were going to be there, but they didn't show up. And
okay,
just...
let me make this perfectly clear, everybody. I'm a 47-year-old man. I am not on Instagram. I am not on Snapchat. I'm sorry. That is not my area of expertise. What I think happened, Michael, is they were going to do that. They were already running long, so they decided. So, I mean, any of the special guests got cut. That would be my guess. Greg, have you heard anything about that in particular?
Well, I heard those rumors of people coming in, and you know, the Kelly Kellys and the Eve Torreses, they were there at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
There was rumors of them being in the match, but I don't know if it was anything really other than rumors. I don't know that's for sure what WWE's plans were. For all I know, they could have been flown in to do you know, interviews for an upcoming WWE Network thing backstage during the weekend, or just been flown in to sign autographs to the Access this weekend, like a lot of the legends are. So I don't know that those are anything but rumors about having them in that match.
Okay.
Well, the match went 35, and it was disappointing at best. And I was disappointed at the positioning of it. Roman Reigns, Undertaker, glad to see Taker going out the way he did. Mm-hmm. I hope this is not the end for him.
Yeah, you never know with
I hope it,
wrestling
I hope
retirement.
It is. I'm
but
sorry,
it,
but, the
but it sure felt like the end.
I hope it is the end of the Undertaker. No offense to anyone who's a big Undertaker fan, but the shape he was in that match, I can't imagine him having another match. And if it's anything like that, I certainly wouldn't enjoy it.
I put on Twitter that it looked like the world's longest snuff film, and it felt that way. It was uncomfortable to watch, and I might be more tolerant of Roman Reigns than some people. I'm not going to say he did a bad job. He probably did exactly what was planned for him. It was just a bad idea. Okay, Michael, listen, I have to let you go because we have somebody on the line waiting from Orlando, okay?
Yep,
all right, thank you, Michael. Michael drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 515-605-9345. Before we take our first break, Brandon from Camping – hold on a moment. I pushed the wrong button. Hold on. Screwed up. All right, try it again. Brandon from Camping World Stadium, the site of WrestleMania 33. You're on the PW Torch livecast. Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. How was it?
It was an interesting night. I thought as far as being there in person, the first half of the show came off really well. Crowd started to get really tired during the second half, and fell really flat for the main event, Taker and Reigns. You know, there were sporadic patches of people trying to get Undertaker chants going and whatnot, but for the most part, far quieter than I expected. Even less booze for Roman than I expected. It kind of looked like a funeral before it was actually a funeral for the Undertaker. So that was interesting to note. There was also a lighting issue early in the show, right around when the sun went down during the Raw Women's Championship match. There were, I don't know if it came off on TV, that there were a ton of chants of "we can't see" and "turn the lights off." But I was sitting on the TV side in the front row behind the risers. So the first row of permanent seating, and there was a blue light directly into my eyes for a couple of matches, and they finally turned it down. But yeah, everybody was having a really hard time seeing for a bit there.
Okay, as a matter of fact, Wade put up during his WrestleMania report tweets from several people who not only were complaining about the lights, but showed, you know, put their cameras in there to show how blinding it was. You know, it's give me the blue lights. I'm ready to go. Yeah, it was bad. It looked really bad. And it's one of the problems you're going to have doing an outdoor show. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I took a couple of pictures when it was at its worst, and it was essentially turning like everything. You know, it was kind of messing with everyone's eyes. So it was turning like the ring a dark yellow, making everything around it dark. So there were a lot of people that were really frustrated, especially down on the floor to the left of the ramp. They had a white spotlight that was shining down on them, and they were having a really hard time seeing anything for quite a while.
Okay, well, next year WrestleMania is at the Superdome in New Orleans, and they should be able to light that indoor stadium without any difficulty. I'm trying to think. John Cena and Nikki Bella won their match, and yes, John Cena did propose to Nikki Bella. I did enjoy the fans in the background doing the "no, no, no" chants when they saw what Cena was about to do. That was amusing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a mostly, it was sort of one of those deals where Cena was getting booed throughout the match, and afterward got plenty of booze, but I think most of the crowd kind of came around for the actual proposal. I mean, there was obviously the booze and the no chance and whatnot, but mostly clapping as they were leaving, so I guess that was nice.
I will put that down as being in good fun. Greg?
Yeah, the Cena stuff played out just like you'd imagine. I think a lot of people predicted that he would propose to Nikki after the match, and the crowd, you know, the crowd at first, they obviously saw this as a chance to jump John Cena a little bit and make life a little more difficult for him. But I can't speak for the fans in the arena, but I thought that his speech and him kind of getting emotional toward the end with what he was saying to Nikki sort of won the crowd over by the end a little bit.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Nikki Bella, you know, when we saw the shots of her, she seemed very happy, but I can't say that she seemed the least bit surprised.
No.
All right, let's see. Any other impressions what was the crowd's reaction during the WWE title match, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt?
Total apathy, honestly. It was pretty quiet throughout most of it. Bray got a nice reaction when he was coming out, and once he got in the ring, there was a little bit of, the whole world in his hands chant. Randy Orton, pretty muted for the most part, and then the match was just kind of your typical Randy Orton match, and I think the crowd kind of sensed that.
Yeah, I can't say there was a lot of intensity in that one. Greg?
Well, I kind of want to ask. We have someone who was in Orlando at the stadium, and so many of the last few matches, the big matches really on the show, were met with not silence, but it was not an energetic crowd for those. And I'm kind of curious if you got the sense being in the crowd that there just wasn't any interest in these matches. From a build-up standpoint, from a character standpoint, or was it just the crowd was tired? I mean, what do you, you see it more as?
I think it was more apathy as we got deeper into the show. I mean, there's no doubt that you know, the crowd was tired. I mean, when you're going on, you know, hour five, deep into hour five, it's impossible not to have a tired crowd, especially when, you know, in the afternoon it was pushing 100 degrees here. Most people were getting into the stadium and they were already soaking wet just from the heat. I imagine a lot of it was just the crowd being tired. But, yeah, a lot of just apathy for the most part with those main event matches. Not only that, I think the crowd kind of peaked with the Hardy Boys' return. That was one of, if not the biggest reactions I've ever heard in person. It was loud. And it was the kind of thing where if WWE wanted footage of people having, you know, like the best time of their lives, like they try to paint all their shows as being, they got plenty of that footage when the Hardys music hit. I mean, people in front of me and around me were jumping up and down, screaming, just completely losing their minds. So they got a moment there for sure.
Yeah, and that was almost exactly halfway through the show, Greg. So that... I mean, that it definitely draws a line between, you know, the energy, you know, the time when the crowd was energetic and the time after that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What else is there? I'm trying to think. Is there any moment that stood out? I mean, is there any moment that stood out as being a really bad match? Because I didn't feel we had bad matches. I felt we had some matches that people weren't interested in, but you know, nothing really broke down into a cluster.
The Reigns and Taker match, there were some spots in there where the crowd was just kind of growing restless. I think they sensed what was coming, and I don't think that they particularly cared for the way it was playing out. There was a really negative reaction when, you know, Reigns couldn't get Taker up for that tombstone, or, you know, that may have obviously been Taker's fault partially too, but there was a really, really negative reaction to that, and almost sort of like a little bit of laughter when Reigns bounced off the ropes three or four times before that last spear. It was a little messy. I think the crowd had enough at that point.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Listen, Brandon, I want to thank you very much for calling in. And appreciate it. Hope you have. Are you from Orlando?
I am not. I am from. I'm from Maine. So we travel down here.
Oh.
I will. I'll be at Rod SmackDown tomorrow and Tuesday as well. So I may give way to call if I can.
Yeah, I would definitely give way to call tomorrow night after this. And safe travels when you do end up going back. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
No problem. Brandon checking in from the from Camping World Stadium, the site of WrestleMania 33. We're going to be on the air for another hour and 12 minutes. We have to take a break right now. We have no choice. We'll come back. We have lots of your calls. We have emails. We have questions. We have people in the chat room. We'll get to all of it. Don't you go away.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Add in interviews with the biggest names in the industry, like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ringrust Radio and email us at ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
And we continue with our WrestleMania postgame show here at pwtorchlivecast.com. I'm Pat McNeil. He's Greg Parks, and we are taking your calls. Number is 515-605-9345. Let's see here. We have hold on a moment. I'm trying to let me pull this up. This is a VIP member, David from Sydney, who emails us saying, "Do you think having JR call the Undertaker's match means this is Undertaker's last ride?" Okay, well... this doesn't really deserve it, but yeah. I think that's what they're going for, Greg. Your thought?
Yeah, I didn't think that having JR call the match necessarily was because it was going to be Taker's last match, but I think it's almost guaranteed coming out of it that that's what happened.
Yeah, and I'll disagree. I think that that had something to do with it. I mean, that's something Taker might have even asked for all we know. We're going to find out more, though, in the coming weeks. I am surprised that Jim Ross called the Roman Reigns match, and Jerry Lawler sat in and was guest and called the Cena and Miz match, because apparently he's a marriage and relationship expert, as they pointed out.
It may be Nikki Bella's last match, so maybe she asked for the King to call her last match.
Why not? I am surprised they didn't have Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler call a match together, though.
Yeah, especially if they were going to have Lawler come and do a match. I'm kind of surprised that they didn't stick him with JR or just leave him off entirely.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I have no idea how many times things change. The plans changed over the course of the weekend, and that's something we're not going to find out here probably for several hours or so. We're going to go back to the telephones here. VIP member Tim from Philadelphia is standing by. Tim, hold on just a second. Yes, you are on the PW Torch Livecast WrestleMania postgame show. Hello.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Not much. Staying up till 2 a.m. Eastern time. What were your thoughts on tonight's WrestleMania 33?
I went in not expecting too much, but I came out thoroughly impressed. I thought altogether they put on a great show. Didn't really have any complaints about pretty much anything outside of maybe some of the work right with the main event. But it told a fitting story, especially with the story coming out with Undertaker giving us his last match, being announced beforehand that, it was going to be if Undertaker doesn't win, he has to retire type of deal, that it gave the moment true emotional impact to not only the fans there, but everyone watching who's been following his career for damn near 30 years now. I thought it was, damn near epic. You can't get better than that for a fitting career.
I felt by the end that this was him going out on his own terms, and I definitely I didn't want to see him lose at all at WrestleMania, but I definitely felt this was a better match to go out on than his match with Brock 3 years ago. Greg?
Yeah, in hindsight, that loss to Lesnar didn't really do much for Brock. And it certainly didn't do much for Taker losing the streak there and going on to have a few pretty unmemorable WrestleMania matches that followed. Here, even before we saw the shape Taker was in the match and we saw the match flow really going, Reigns had to win here. It made sense. And especially if you think that WWE had gone away from the idea of doing Cena versus Undertaker because the idea is that Cena doesn't really get anything from beating Taker, and Taker doesn't really get anything from beating Cena, as two guys who are part-timers are on their way to being part-timers. By sticking Roman Reigns in that match, you're basically saying he's going to get something out of beating The Undertaker. And hopefully he does. I'm not going to say this is going to change people's opinions of Roman Reigns, and all of a sudden he's going to be the top babyface on Raw starting tomorrow night. But maybe some credibility that he doesn't have yet with some fans will give him a shot in the arm by having this win.
Well, and I've got to tell you, I thought the way to go here would have been with Reigns taking more of the beating than dishing it out, and at least getting some respect for being, the tough guy who fought back after getting punched and tombstoned and chokeslammed and put through tables and walls and stuff, but that's not the direction they were going for some reason.
Yeah, it seemed like the idea was to show that he was out and out better than Undertaker. And given the Undertaker's state, I don't think that was the wrong call to make, because I think it would have looked silly to have Roman Reigns take the punishment from a clearly unable to do a lot Undertaker in a match like this.
if this was his last match, they might have felt that that was the best way to get mileage out of him. And, you know, they feel that Roman Reigns is the guy, so that was their choice. I'm not sure that it worked, though. And a lot of that might have had to do, they might have been better off putting this on halfway through the show, especially with the length of it.
Well, I guess I understand if Taker's going to go out the way he went out tonight, putting his gear in the ring and, what The Undertaker
like
not only meant to WWE and what he's meant to WrestleMania, you couldn't do that whole process in the middle of the show. So maybe they knew if they knew it going in, it was going to be Taker's last match, which all signs point to they knew. That had to go on last.
Yeah, I guess so. What else do you have, Tim?
A follow-up on the earlier caller, they were asking about the match placement. I think it's a pretty obvious answer as to why the women's title match went on when it did. Naomi's entrance needs the darkness. It wouldn't have worked during the day, so, you know, need the glow. It has to be dark out.
Yeah, much like Bray Wyatt's entrance has to be, you know, when it's dark out. Yeah, because they did the entrance. You remember a couple years ago, Greg, they did the Bray Wyatt entrance in San Francisco, and the sun hadn't gone down yet, and it just didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you don't think of until maybe even after the fact that you say, so that's why that match went on there. So
that makes
there's a whole process behind it.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Always
and
thinking.
If they think that going into tomorrow night that Roman is going to be their top face, it's kind of going to be a joke on their part. I mean, we have the Raw after Mania, which is known to be the hottest, not to mention the smartest crowd of the year. So they're going to be all over the returning Finn Balor, and more likely than not, all over the debut of Nakamura, who I'm thinking is going to show up on both Raw and SmackDown as a free agent, just so we can get a couple rating spikes post and so we can see where he ends up going into SummerSlam.
Okay. I mean, I would think, Greg, that they might want to put Balor on one brand and Nakamura on the other, but we don't know. You're absolutely right, Tim. If anything, the crowd tomorrow is going to be even worse towards Roman Reigns than the crowd tonight was.
And with Reigns, yeah, I think WWE will grit their teeth and get through tomorrow night. They've talked themselves into the post-Mania crowd not being necessarily indicative of the entirety of the WWE universe and how they feel about guys. So they'll grit their teeth and they'll get through Raw tomorrow night with Roman Reigns. And maybe Reigns won't even play a big part tomorrow night on Raw. That's entirely possible as well, just to keep him away from that reaction that he's bound to get.
This would be a good night probably tomorrow to have Cole do a sit down or Corey Graves do a sit down interview with Roman Reigns, talking about how it felt, the Undertaker's last match and all of that, mm-hmm. and have the sit down interview be done not in front of the live audience.
Yeah. What does beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania mean to you? What does possibly retiring him mean to you? That sort of thing. Keep him away from the live audience.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, Tim, listen, thank you for calling in. Glad you stayed up with us tonight. Okay.
Yeah, thank you. But one last thing, I don't know if you noticed, but the post thing they did with the Hardys on WWE.com, you know, Matt was in broken character, so I don't know.
Okay, well, I hadn't seen that because we've been kind of busy, but that, okay, then they're going to go, if they're going to go with the broken characters, I'm perfectly happy
Greg. I saw that, but I don't think, I mean, he used the word deleted, he used wonderful the way he did, but I thought for the most part he spoke in his pretty normal voice, so he threw a couple hints in there, but I wouldn't say he was in broken character in that.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome, guys. Take it easy.
Okay. 515-605-9345. That's how you reach us here. We have another VIP member standing by, Luis from New Jersey. Luis, welcome to the PW Torch Livecast WrestleMania postgame show. Hello.
Hello. What's going on, Pat? Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Hello.
You
hear me, yeah.
Hi.
Yes.
Yes, good to have you
well,
back
my,
on.
Oh, thanks. I'm glad you remembered me. So my first two things I wanted to, I only have two things that I wanted to, you know, speak of. The first one that I definitely wanted to speak on was the fact that AJ Styles, just in my personal opinion, cemented his legacy by actually making Shane, like, rise up to possibly maybe, just in my opinion, about three and a half star match. I mean, for me, like, I mean, my expectations going into it were was that it was just me a complete flop. But no, I definitely feel that, you know, AJ Styles, you know, rose him up. So, you know, before I get to my second point, I just want to get your opinion on that with you and Greg.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, I can't say that Shane McMahon didn't work hard. He obviously spent some time, you know, practicing his shooting star press and actually, you know, and missed it. And I mean, it's sad that AJ Styles had to sell for Shane's punches, but I mean, AJ did a hell of a job. There's no arguing that. And, you know, it's not like Shane was the worst wrestler on this show tonight.
You know, I think that match is probably in consideration for match of the night for a lot of people. And, you know, I thought it was well done. I thought it was on the high end of what a Shane McMahon match can be in 2017. My problems are all related to Shane actually wrestling and not making it a fight. And Shane doing wrestling moves and like amateur wrestling moves. And this is not who we know Shane McMahon to be. So for him to do that and to get the better of Styles doing that as often as he did, I had a problem with that. If he had, as bad as his punches look, if he had just fought, kicks, you know, street fight kind of thing, then I could buy that. But when he's coming in here with no background in this and he's beating a guy like Styles with those moves, that's where I kind of hesitate, but you take it as a whole, and I thought it was well done.
Right, and you know, Wade Keller points out, hey, Shane didn't do anything really psychotic tonight. I mean, he didn't jump off of anything higher than the top rope. So, yeah, that's that didn't hurt. So, and yeah, this I mean, this helps AJ Styles' legacy, I think. But I think the McMahons are going to remember, hey, look what this guy can do.
And he won, which was, I know some people were holding their breath about that result, but he won and he needed to, and that was the right result.
Okay, Lewis, what else?
Yeah, and then the second thing I definitely wanted to say was, I just want to make a statement before I move on to the next point, but all I was saying was that I just want to echo, and agree with some people that the match order, I think, was perfect. I think, finally, you know, they got it right for the first time, but, you know, that was just my second point. The second thing that I originally wanted to say was that I was paying attention to Jim Ross and Michael Cole on how they were working together on the commentary, and I could see that it was almost kind of like it took a while for them to kind of get adjusted to each other. That was just my opinion, because of the fact that Michael Cole typically is the head broadcaster and everybody else kind of like is secondary and feeds off of him and kind of uses him as the baseline. But I could definitely see that, like, it was because I was hyper-focusing on them, and was kind of like they were, like, trading. They were kind of, like, waiting for the other person. Hey, do you want to take the lead? Do you want to take the lead? I don't know. That's just how it came off for me, so I just wanted to know how that came off for you guys.
It was an interesting dynamic. I thought these were the three, you know, these are the three guys who had called the most matches in Undertaker's career, which I think is why they were together. And, I thought it was awkward in places. I don't necessarily think it was tense. And I think that they were all grappling with the problem of we've got to on commentary make Roman look strong, but that doesn't square with it's hard when it doesn't square with the crowd reactions. Greg?
Well, you know, they're putting Michael Cole in a tough situation because he's been the lead announcer for so long, and then he kind of has to play a back seat here to Jim Ross, and that's what should happen. You know, the hierarchy should be, if Jim Ross is, if you bring him in to call the main event in WrestleMania, you've got to let him be the lead announcer, and you've got to have Cole sit back. And I don't think there was anything malicious. I don't think they were purposely stepping on each other or anything like that. I think it was just, like I said, an adjustment period for Cole to try and get the rhythm in with JR. I don't know how much prep time they had with JR having other things going on during Mania weekend, but you know, if I had to do this situation, I would have kept Graves or Saxton in there with JBL and Ross just to make things a little smoother and make the transition a little easier because they're used to playing those secondary roles.
Yeah, but I understand why they did it. Why they did that politically because, you know, Michael Cole is their guy, and you don't want to tell him, hey, look, you know, you're not good enough to be on. You're not good enough to call Undertaker's last match. Sorry, I mean that's.
Yeah.
I mean there's no. Yeah, I mean there's no right way to do that. They were going off the seniority, I think.
Mm-hmm. And he's the voice of WWE. You got to have him in that situation.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, it'd be good to have Jim Ross under contract. You know, I mean, let's say that they have another situation where Mauro Ranallo is out for an extended period of time, and they need somebody to cover for him for a couple of weeks. I think he's good enough to do that. See, I mean, or the occasional match, events involving the legends. Yeah. Plus, they don't want him working for New Japan or for World of Sport or TNA or anybody else. So that solves that problem. All right, Lewis. Well, listen, thank you very much for calling.
All right. You take care, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
We sure will. We have to go to a break right now. We will come back. We will have more of your calls and emails and chat room questions and just as much as we can squeeze in. Don't you go anywhere.
If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back. I'm Pat McNeil, and I'd like to tell you about our sponsor, one of the great sponsors we have here on the PW Torch livecast, a little company called Loot Crate. Loot Crate gives you epic gift and gamer items for you from a variety of different sources, variety of topics, the Deadpool, yeah. There's Loot Crate. There's Loot Crate DX, which is a larger crate of stuff. There are specialty crates for Halo, for gaming, for J.K. Rowling, and for Marvel Comics. And believe it or not, Loot Crate is the exclusive home of the WWE Slam Crate. This month's crate, you can get a special limited edition Stone Cold Steve Austin figure, I think it's called. Yeah, anyway, that's coming up. You have to order by the 19th at 9 p.m. Electrifying items in every crate. There's a shirt in every crate. It is exclusive. Yeah, the first figure in the Attitude Era series featuring Stone Cold Steve Austin. Authentic T-shirts you can't get anywhere else. Go check it out. Go to lootcrate.com. Look up the WWE Slam Crate. It is $29.99 a month, plus shipping and handling. And they promise you at least $60 in value. Don't forget about our friends over at Loot Crate. And we're back with more of the PW Torch livecast postgame show for WrestleMania 33. Pat McNeil, along with Greg Parks. Don't forget, tomorrow after Raw, yet another livecast. Wade Keller will be here. If he can get me awake by then, I guess I might be there or Greg might be there with him. We just don't know. And if you're a VIP member, hopefully the VIP roundtable with Wade and Bruce and Todd Martin will be going up soon on the PW Torch VIP website. Go to pwtorch.com/govip for subscription information. Now, let's get back to our callers. Ah, here we go. Okay, so 582 area code. Let's go to the 582 area code, 562 area code, excuse me. This would be Ruben. Ruben, you're on the live cast. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you guys?
Doing great, how are you?
Doing all right. It was an interesting WrestleMania. I just did a video on YouTube and I said it was definitely the ultimate thrill ride of emotions. I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think the likelihood of WWE messing up this whole Undertaker Roman Reigns thing, like they did the streak with Lesnar. I have pretty much zero faith in them that they're going to do this right.
Well, what do you mean that they're going to do this right? They've already done it, Ruben.
Well, I mean the retirement of Undertaker is great, but what they do with Roman next, you know, because they have a really good opportunity here to really do something special with Roman, you know, full on heel turn, you know, make him a dominant force as a heel, you know, not try to play the, you know, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy thing that he did for a little while. Like, what do you think they're going to do with Roman, essentially, is what I'm asking, because it seems like they're probably going to mess this up.
All right, Greg, I will let you chime in first, and then I'll see if I can think of anything afterwards.
I don't think they're going to turn him heel. I think that they've sort of missed the boat on that at this point. They're playing the hand that they've dealt themselves with Reigns as a babyface, and they want that top babyface with John Cena going out, and I know he's on a different brand, but with him going to more of a part-time status and them losing that top babyface, A1 top babyface they've had for a long time, they need someone else to step up into that role, and they've been grooming Reigns for a while. I mean, we're going on 3 years, I think, if not longer, that they've been trying to force this square Reigns peg into the round top babyface hole, and it's just not going. And I don't have any indications from anything I've really seen that a heel turn is in the works.
Okay, my thoughts on this, Ruben, and you can, I don't know what you'd take of that. If you've heard Roman's podcast with Chris Jericho, I think if you're going to play this out and you want Roman to be if you want Roman to get over with the fans, let him be himself. Let him come up with his own material. Because this thing where the writers and Vince McMahon are trying to put words in his mouth, you know, this is a guy, I don't know, in his late 20s, early 30s, who's you know, been an athlete, father, you know, you're trying to talk, and when you're putting words in his mouth, you're presenting him as something that he's not. And I think he needs to, if he's going to be the guy, as they put it, he's got to have more to say about his character and how he comes off.
That's an interesting take. I just felt like, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of heat on him for this, but I don't know. I'm interested to see what comes next for Roman, and really it's a really interesting place for him. I think he's in a good spot. And I think finally he might actually be able to connect properly with the audience after Undertaker giving him the nod finally.
Well,
and that's pretty much all I have for you guys.
Okay, thanks, Ruben. Yeah, I think the WWE side of things, Greg, and you can back me up or not here, is that Roman Reigns is you know, he's the top merchandise seller after John Cena. He's the guy who had the biggest, longest lines at Access. You know, he's the guy who has the most young girls, you know, cheering for him. You know, in that respect, in many respects, he's the guy we want.
Yeah, they look at a lot of metrics on this, and you're right about a lot of that. And the metric that they don't put a lot of weight in is TV crowd reactions, I don't think. We've seen that WWE doesn't put a lot of stock into that when it comes to Reigns, at least. And, you know, Pat, you mentioned letting Roman Reigns kind of speak for himself and not be as overly scripted as he seems to be, to where it's sometimes uncomfortable watching him on the mic try to spit out words that aren't his. And I think the idea that you had earlier where, you know, you have this sit-down interview away from the live crowd, have Michael Cole talk to him about what it means to beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And I think you do that in a situation where you take sort of, you know, pun intended, I guess, but you take the reins off of him. And you just say, okay, speak conversationally with Michael Cole. You know your character better than us. We're going to give you the chance now to see if you can do this on your own. Get over by yourself without the writers, you know, kind of mucking things up. And Cole's going to ask you questions, react to them, answer them the way you think your character should. And give him an opportunity to do that and see how much more authentic he comes across in that situation. Because I think the problem of authenticity with him, especially on promos, is a big one.
Yeah, he's not a bad wrestler. And you know, the announcer tonight pointed out how athletic he is, which is certainly a fair point. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go with him, then keep trying stuff until you find something that works, because what's happening with him right now really isn't working all that well. Let's see who else we have on here. Hold on a moment. We have an email from Scott, who calls in often, says, with Undertaker's final match, do you think he's the headliner to next year's Hall of Fame class? And this is something we're being asked in the chat room, Greg. I think that's pretty likely.
Yeah, that's a fair question to ask, and at this point I would assume so. And that's going to be really interesting, because Taker has not done a lot of out-of-character stuff. And I think that's going to be a real draw for the Hall of Fame next year. You know, it's nice to see Kurt Angle come back. It's nice to see him give a speech. It's nice to see a lot of these legends come back and give speeches. But for Undertaker, I think that's on a whole different level than the anticipation for the legends at the Hall of Fame when they get inducted. The Undertaker, I think people are really interested to even just how he sounds. You know, out of the Undertaker character, I think people are interested in that. So if he does go in next year, and obviously if not next year, he will go in within the next few years. I think that's going to be a huge part of the draw, is really hearing what he's going to say.
Yeah, and the Undertaker doesn't have to give a 30-minute speech. You know, he doesn't have to go all Beth Phoenix on us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's...
I would say it's pretty unlikely that he would do that.
Yeah, I mean, keep true to what he is, but you know, just let him talk. He's been through. I mean, I can't imagine what his, when he finally sits down to write his autobiography. I can't even imagine all the stuff that's going to be in there. He has had a long and very interesting career. Okay, we're going to take another break before we get back to more calls. We still got some time left, so 515-605-9345. I count, well, way too many people on hold, but we'll definitely make room for you. So don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com. Covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com.
All right, and the PW Torch livecast WrestleMania post-game show continues. I'm Torch columnist Pat McNeil, joined by Torch columnist Greg Parks. 515-605-9345. I want to run through a couple of emails quickly. Kenny writes in asking, with Stephanie may or may not show up on Raw tomorrow, what are the chances we'll see Vince McMahon on Raw? And do you see a possibility as a wild card of Hulk Hogan being named either commissioner or GM of Raw on Monday? No, I don't. I can see Vince McMahon showing up. I suspect, and based on a lot of rumors I've heard, that the new Raw GM is going to end up being Kurt Angle. Greg, have you heard anything along the lines of who will end up replacing Mick Foley?
Yeah, I've heard the Angle rumor, and with Stephanie, I would assume she would be off TV tomorrow. And with Foley having been fired the week before, you know, that Vince could just show up and hand wave it away and say he's running it for the night or whatever like that. Or they could decide to introduce Angle. I mean, I would think you would want to introduce Angle when Stephanie's there to get her reaction or to explain that she hired him or that he was hired against her will or something like that. So I don't know if it'll be tomorrow night with everything going on, but he's the name that seems to stick out and that a lot of people keep coming back to as a possibility.
Yeah, and I think with good reason. I mean, it's something, you know, it's something that they can do for several months, and you can have them introduced tomorrow, and then the drama of next. What happens when Stephanie comes back next week and sees that Kurt Angle is her new GM? What's gonna, you know? I mean, there's some real potential here. Email from Julian saying there's a hinting of an Impact GFW merger after speaking with Jeff Jarrett. If the merger happened, what do you think the company should be named? guys, there is no Global Force Wrestling, okay? They've stopped doing house shows. They did TV tapings that nobody bought. It's a brand that they have used. It's basically a bunch of guys who have gotten themselves, who Jeff Jarrett has gotten booked on a variety of indie shows. Sure, they can turn Global Force into a brand within Impact or a brand feuding with Impact, but really, there's not really a merger, I guess I'd say. Greg?
They've already done the Global Force TNA feud. I don't know. Is someone really asking this question, like, after WrestleMania?
Yes,
is this really what's on people's minds?
It's Julian, yes. Julian wrote in at, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's what we do. All right. Catherine in the chat room, does anybody believe anything will happen with Mojo? I think the discussion is whether Mojo is going to become a main eventer. I don't know. I think that they're... I think they're interested in getting Rob Gronkowski to be a wrestler after he retires from football. But
sure, yeah, they would love that.
Mm-hmm.
With Mojo, I mean, I think that's a good question because you look at it and it was he used kind of to get WWE mainstream media attention by having Gronkowski play a role in his getting the victory in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, where this is sort of a one-off thing and
absolutely
they forget about it by SmackDown on Tuesday? Or is this the start of a real, even halfway decent push for Mojo Rawley? I think by virtue of just winning this Battle Royal with all the importance that WWE puts on it in the lead-up, I think you've got to give him at least a couple-week push out of this, if nothing else.
Yeah, I like Mojo Rawley better now that he's not a hype bro. I no longer have the urge to hit the mute button every time he shows up on television. So that's a positive,
well, that's
I think.
Plus.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's see who this is online from the 615 area code. 615, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with me and Greg. Hello.
Hey, guys. This is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee, and I want to thank you for reading my email that I sent to you.
Oh, okay. Hi, Kenny. Well, do you have anything else in addition to the email?
Yeah, I want to talk about the Roman Reigns-Undertaker match for a bit. You know, when I was watching the match, you know, I was watching the body language of both of them. You know, obviously you can tell the Undertaker was just, he was just not in shape, and it was just so reminiscent of the match that he and Brock Lesnar had about 3 years ago as far as how things were going for him physically. Of course, the Undertaker suffered a concussion in that match, which didn't help, but, you know, it was just a case where the Undertaker was just not 100% at all during the match, and you know, there was that spot in the end where, you know, Roman Reigns was doing that spear. You know, just like Undertaker just looked, you know, sort of out of it. And I just wanted to get your opinion on the match. Did you think it was a good match at all? I thought for what it was decent. It was not a great match. It was certainly not that bad. But I thought it was a decent match. What was your guys' opinion on the match overall?
I thought it was a good match. I thought that, Undertaker was dragging, but they were stiffing each other hard enough that I thought people could maybe look past that. And it's the Undertaker, and they laid out the match well. Greg,
I didn't think it was all that good. I thought the match really started to fall apart when Taker couldn't get himself up for the reverse tombstone, and it kind of really went downhill
yeah.
from there. And to be honest, it was sad to watch that. And even before that, Taker didn't look comfortable. He wasn't moving around well. We talked about guys in the past having to create movement for Roman Reigns, and here it was Reigns kind of creating the movement for The Undertaker. So it was laid out as best that they could, but even with the layout as it was, Taker was just so incredibly limited in what he could do in this match that even with The Undertaker, you know, if you're saying a good match or not and being black and white about it, I thought it fell short of being a good match.
Okay, and,
yeah,
and for the record, go ahead, Kenny, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say I was going to agree with you guys, but I could just tell you that from the way Reigns was looking was that he just was really not really into it. Once the match was up and running about a few minutes in when he could see that the Undertaker was just, I mean, just not really into shape. That Reigns just was like, oh, you know, he just had that look on his face. And, you know, in a lot of ways, the irony is that if they do go full heel with him, this might be the best thing to happen for him if they go that route, because they can see from his body language, it's like, oh, the guy just doesn't care. You know, he's just trying to beat the Undertaker to death, you know, that type of mentality. And I just thought that just watching it from the body language is just, they did the best with what they could. And, you know, it's just, it's like I said, I thought it was just a decent match, not great, but certainly not that bad.
Okay, I understand that. I suggested they turn Reigns heel 2 years ago for WrestleMania 31, and they didn't. And whenever they decide to do it, it'll be Mr. McMahon's decision, and it will be based on things that we know nothing about. Anything to add, Greg?
No, that's actually a pretty good way to put it. We can guess and we can say they should do this and they should do that, but ultimately it's one guy, and he's going to go with his gut.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Kenny?
Just one quick thing about the match, and then I'll go. There was a sign, if you go back and rewatch it on the WWE Network, and, you know, this kind of shows how much the fans in Orlando really like Roman. Somebody had a sign that said Roman was a Holocaust denier, and I thought, well, that may have worked about 20 years ago. They could have had someone else with a sign saying that Roman was a flat earth believer. If you go back and watch that, it was actually up a couple of times, once after the match and once during the match. I just thought that was, it was kind of a little bit
innocent.
Yeah, but anyway.
There was an incident a few weeks ago where AJ Styles had to deny that he was a flat earth believer. So, for whatever that's worth. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's about it. And thanks for taking my call. And you guys have a good, well, I guess in my case, early morning.
Yes. Well, we will have a good morning. Thank you, Kenny. These 2 day WrestleManias, Greg, I think we might have to make some suggestions on how they can avoid doing this next year.
I have to preemptively apologize to the students at school tomorrow if I'm a little mm-hmm. harsh with them, more so than usual because of my what I perceive as lack of sleep coming up tonight.
What do you want? Yes, I can imagine that. Yeah. Oh well, so you know what, I hear kids are resilient.
Stronger.
Let's go to Craig from Chicago, who's standing by from the 630 area code. Craig, you're on the livecast WrestleMania post-game show. Hello.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Doing fine.
They made it easy for me to switch over to the Cubs for a while tonight, but...
That was nice of them, huh?
Yeah, that was very nice of them. Kind of an underwhelming show for me. The best part for me was seeing the Hardys complete that expedition of gold. They still got to get the SmackDown tag titles, though, but still, nonetheless. I don't think the broken character is going to be in the WWE. You know, Vince didn't create it. It never got over in the WWE in the first place, so you're not really going to see it. He may throw some hints here and there, like a delete sign and everything, but about it.
You know what, Craig? Now that I'm thinking about it, I think for a show, upcoming show on the network has to have cameras in the room when Matt Hardy tries to explain the broken universe to Vince McMahon.
That would be nice.
I think that would be an all-time classic episode of whatever show they do it on.
Oh, this will never get over in the WWE universe. I can just see it now.
Right.
I think Undertaker's last opponent should have been John Cena. That's just me. That's what I feel. But it is what it is, you know. Roman's not going to get anything out of this except more hatred. Whether he turns heel or not, the fans just don't care for him right now. He probably needs to go away for a bit. And I really do think they jumped the shark tonight with the whole Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton ridiculousness. I mean, it got so bad I had to cover my face when my girlfriend was looking at me during that match. She was just like, what the hell is this? What do you guys think?
That's a fair statement. I'm trying to remember the last time we had a WWE title match during WrestleMania that got over this. Well, that didn't get over this way. Greg?
I missed the Wyatt Orton match.
Yeah, we're talking about the Wyatt Orton match. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what they were going for there with the projection images on the mat. I guess I should be thankful that it didn't play into the finish like so many of Wyatt's wacky adventures seem to do on the big stage, whether it's, you know, the Dean Ambrose exploding monitor comes to mind. I guess we should be thankful it was just limited to the projections on the mat, and that's it. And I don't really know what we're supposed to get out of this. Like, Wyatt played his head games tonight with Randy Orton, and Randy Orton won cleanly. There was no interference. Eric Rowan didn't return to help Bray Wyatt. You know, what's the lesson here? Is this that Orton was just too strong for Bray's mind games? And if so, is he the first guy who's really been able to overcome that? You know, where does Bray go from here with that? It almost feels like this feud has to continue given the gravity of the buildup and how long they've gone. I think to have a one-off with this match, I would be surprised if that was the case.
You know what? I think we're going to get deleted scenes from this WrestleMania, and there's going to be one where they catch Eric Rowan backstage, disguised as the lighting guy, and they unmask him, and he says, "I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids." Because that's really what it felt like.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, it was not good. But I mean, what it shows me is they knew this match wasn't gonna be much, because otherwise, you know, why would you do this?
Yeah, and I'm not sure why it wasn't better than it was. You know, was this Randy Orton just not getting out of first gear again, as he's been known for? Or, you know, Bray Wyatt's had some pretty decent matches. Was it just they didn't have chemistry in the ring? They didn't gel? I'm struggling with why the match was set up the way it was and why it ended up coming across as flat as it did.
I think that people didn't buy Bray Wyatt as WWE champion. I think that they, you know, they bought him winning Elimination Chamber, but the follow-up from that was really not strong enough to keep this over.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, even from eliminating the crowd reaction, eliminating all the build-up, you drop these two guys in the ring to have a match, I just expected from that point of view it to be better than it was. It just came across as just another match, and I'm surprised. I'm surprised it wasn't anything more, I guess.
Hmm. Okay, fair enough. Let's see. Anything else here, Craig?
Well, you know, I'm not going to put any of this on the talent. This is probably a really good talent roster they have. This is more on like Vince McMahon, his ridiculous writing team, and Kevin Dunn's ridiculousness. You know, I mean, the shaking cameras and everything. I mean, I'm just dizzy watching the crap all night. They need to strip it down and get back to the basics of what pro wrestling is. This sports entertainment thing, man. You know, if you want two ratings and to go bankrupt in 10 years, which they will when that TV deal's done, by all means, we'll go back to the territory days.
Okay, well, some people like the territory days, so we'll see how that goes. After looking it up, Greg, I have decided that WrestleMania 25, Randy Orton and Hunter, that was the last time a WWE title match was as dead as this one was.
Yeah, Randy Orton, the common denominator in that.
Yes, funny how that works. Craig, thank you very much. We will probably talk to you. We'll probably talk to you in 4 weeks about something much like this.
Oh, maybe.
yeah. All right. Craig drops off. The number is 515-605-9345. We will come back and we will get through the last couple segments of the show. Got about 25 minutes left. Don't you go anywhere.
Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
We are into our second hour of the PW Torch Livecast WrestleMania postgame show here on pwtorchlivecast.com. Torch columnist Pat McNeil, joined by Torch columnist Greg Parks, your Pro Wrestling Torch top guys here, going over WrestleMania with you. 13 matches, a grand total, including pregame show, of 7 hours and 12 minutes. Let's go to, let me see what we have online. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to Twitter here. Fools Got Dunked writes in, definitely agree with the first half being good. I appreciate that the booking wasn't as odd as WrestleMania 32. Thank you, Taker. Well, that's, I guess that's probably going to be the takeaway from this show. Greg, what do you think? Do you think people are going to remember anything from WrestleMania 33 other than this being Taker's last match?
I think that will be remembered the most. I think people will remember it for the Hardys coming back, certainly, as well. And to go off the tweet that you just read, I think WWE made the right decision in booking in a lot of these matches. You had Bayley, who came in as champion, which was a questionable decision. She ended up going over in her first WrestleMania, which was a little surprising. The expected Sasha Banks heel turn will have to wait at least another day. And Naomi in her hometown getting the SmackDown Women's title back after she had to forfeit it due to injury, beating Alexa Bliss tonight as well. So there were some feel-good moments that WWE went with. Obviously, the Hardy Boys coming back and winning the tag titles after the monstrous pop they got in their return. So there's a lot of times where they use WrestleMania, and we come out kind of scratching our heads saying, you know, this is the perfect place for so-and-so to win, and they didn't do it. I don't think we can really make those complaints tonight.
Okay, we also have a tweet from Mike Cantrell, who sends in a milk carton with a picture of Samoa Joe on the side of it, asking, how was Samoa Joe not even in the Battle Royal? That's a good question. I was expecting to see him at some point.
I noticed that he wasn't in there. My thought was, if you want him, as silly as this sounds to a lot of people, if you want him to be taken as a top guy going forward, a top heel on Raw, the last thing you want him doing is getting lost in a no-name battle royal and getting tossed unceremoniously. You know, don't put him in there just to have him on the show. Don't make him just seem like another guy. If you don't have a spot for him, that's okay. Leave him off. And then, you know, start to build him up tomorrow night on Raw. Don't just put him on the show to put him on the show and put him in a spot where his impact is going to be lessened. So I was totally okay with if they didn't have a good idea for him tonight, just leaving him off the show altogether.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. And as we pointed out already, they did not have any backstage skits tonight, so there was no opportunity to insert Samoa Joe there. I suspect that tomorrow they're going to start moving from Seth Rollins versus Triple H into the Seth Rollins-Samoa Joe feud, the match that we did not get to see a couple months ago. All right, 515-605-9345. Let's go back to the phones. All right, Darrell's been more than patient. Darrell from Georgia. Hello, you're on the livecast postgame show. How you doing?
How you doing today, Pat? How you doing today, Greg?
Good, thanks.
Okay, okay. Well, coming off tonight's WrestleMania, I think the hottest match there was when the Hardys entered the tag team match, maybe the match of the night, a tie for the match of the night with AJ and Shane. I think one of the biggest takes to take up out of Mania was the no heel turn for Sasha or Roman. You know, a lot of people thought that Sasha would turn tonight and thought that Roman maybe turn heel tonight. I think that was one of the biggest takes. What do you guys think?
That's a good point, Greg. We did not get any heel. We did not get a heel turn tonight. We didn't really get any babyface turns either.
No, and the Sasha turn, you know, a lot of people thought, okay, maybe in the build-up she will turn and make it two-on-one. This is before Nia Jax was entered into the match. Make it a two-on-one heel versus babyface situation. Force Bayley to overcome the odds at WrestleMania. That didn't happen. Then people thought, okay, maybe during the match she turns heel, ends up costing Bayley the Raw Women's Championship. That didn't happen either. Now, you know, if it doesn't happen tomorrow night, maybe it doesn't happen. We've got that to consider as well. Emma coming back as a heel, presumably at some point. Nia Jax, being positioned as a top heel. You've already got Charlotte, so maybe there isn't the need for Sasha to turn heel, even though that's the direction the story has been going. And Roman Reigns turning heel, you know, they had an opportunity to really turn him in that match against The Undertaker and really have him go beyond whatever measures it really took to beat The Undertaker and to go into that heel territory where he was going above and beyond what he needed to do to win, and they didn't do it. I think that was what you really could have done if you wanted to turn him heel. Again, I don't think that's going to be in the cards.
Yeah, and on the bright side, though, Aleister Black had a pretty good pretty cool entrance during NXT TakeOver. So you got that going for you, which is nice.
Hmm. Yeah, very unique.
Okay.
And that was going into what I was going to ask you guys next was, coming out of Mania, usually you would have some type of hot act or something. If you take away the Hardys, I see no one on the babyface side or heel side gaining any type of momentum or heat or just buzz coming out of Mania that they have booked themselves in. And just looking at TakeOver last night, which was a show that most people said didn't have too much buzz into it, coming out of that, I think you got more people in the NXT with more of a buzz than you do with anybody on the main roster coming out of Mania, because I feel you have no hot babyface or hot heels coming out of Mania, maybe mostly cold stars. What do you guys think?
No, I think you're right. I think the problem is, you know, I think the problem is people who come to Raw. Raw's on for 3 hours and 15 minutes every Monday night, and they feel like, you know, they feel like they can't afford to have guys take a week off. And I mean, they're overexposed. You don't get guys. You don't get to build up guys by having them win several match weeks in a row over different job guys. I mean, look how well that did when Ryback did it. I will tell you this, though, Darrell, and I want your response to this. I think that when Finn Balor shows up on Raw tomorrow night, which I fully expect him to do, I think people will be very happy to see him.
Yes, I think so. And that maybe be the whole big thing. Maybe holding him off of this Mania card, give you one hot babyface, because right now they have no hot stars coming out of Mania. With Seth Rollins, I felt like him getting the win, he still not over as a babyface. Bayley still going down as a babyface, and Roman as your lead babyface still not buying it. So being on the Mania card really didn't help anybody, and that has to take a couple of letter grades away from Mania being just a decent, okay, maybe a C-minus show, because nobody got a buzz coming out of it. I mean, something that you might forget.
Okay, well, Greg, we have the Hardys who are a hot act coming off of WrestleMania. Can you think of anybody other than what we've talked about with Darrell already?
Well, I don't think Bayley is going downhill. I think fans were kind of, with the hot potatoing of the Raw Women's title, I think fans were sort of reluctant to get behind Bayley after she won the title. because I would think they were waiting for that other shoe to drop, potentially at Mania tonight, with her losing the title. I think the fans will be a little more receptive of her as champion now that she's got the title, and maybe they think, okay, now that she's got past that WrestleMania speed bump, she may be holding that title for longer, so we can get behind her without feeling like the rug's going to be pulled out from under us. Seth Rollins is an interesting case. I think he had the possibility of gaining a lot by beating Triple H tonight, and I think a lot of it's going to be I think that the crowd tomorrow night is going to be interesting because I think they'll kind of set the tone for him going forward. I didn't feel like he was hot coming out of tonight, but he was sort of in that pool of matches where the crowd was really sort of died down either because of the buildup or because it was going on, you know, the fourth hour of the show by that point. So it's tough. I don't know if it's fair to gauge the wrestlers coming out of this show based on the reaction, what with it being an open-door stadium and it being such a long show and things like that. I think certainly the telltale signs will be going forward tomorrow night and the week subsequent to that.
Yeah, I also think Brock Lesnar is going to get a pretty great reaction tomorrow.
Yes.
And that's the guy you need.
There was a lot of anti-Goldberg fans, by the sounds of it, at WrestleMania tonight. That will probably be the case tomorrow night on Raw as well. So if that is the case, he'll get a pretty strong babyface reaction tomorrow night.
I agree. Okay, anything else, Darrell?
Just one last thing. They had Roman on SportsCenter just a few minutes ago interviewing, so you probably still won't see a heel turn because he explained everything that Greg was bringing up about him having to go to extra line. He was saying, out of respect for Undertaker, you have to go that far because he's that good of a competitor, so you have to do that. And he did it out of respect. And being somebody who got a family to feed, he had to do that. So he explained it in a babyface way. So,
well, okay. That's good. Let's see if he can do something like that with him tomorrow on Raw. I'm okay with that. All right. All right. Thank you, Darrell. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you guys too.
Okay. 515-605-9345. We have to take one more break, and when we come back, we will plow through as many calls as we can before the night wraps up. You are listening to the PW Torch Livecast. Back in a moment.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
All right, this is the PW Torch Livecast WrestleMania postgame show. I'm Pat McNeil, joined by Greg Parks. We are Pro Wrestling Torch columnists, and this is the longest weekend of our year. How are you holding up, Greg?
So far, so good. But if you ask me again in about 5 or 6 hours, I may have a different answer.
Well, I don't know that. I don't know that we'll be doing that in 5 or 6 hours. Let's see. I'm looking through our chat room. Somebody points out as a hot act, Braun Strowman. I mean, I know he lost the Battle Royal, but it took 15 guys to eliminate him, and I don't think there were a lot of people who probably didn't even see it.
Yeah, and he was an example. You know, Pat, you were talking about how the guys get overexposed on Raw every week, and you gave Ryback as an example of a guy who got over by beating jobbers pretty handily each week, and Braun Strowman's another guy. That really helped him. He was kind of going nowhere in the Wyatt family. When they finally broke him away from them, he started, you know, just eating up these jobbers each week on Raw, and that got him over as a monster.
Yeah, I think that Braun will get a good reaction tomorrow. But I, you know, some of the acts on the fringe, I don't know. And I expect we're going to see, in addition to Finn Balor, probably maybe one or two more acts debut. I don't think we're going to get swamped like we did last year after WrestleMania, because obviously Triple H was not pleased with how that worked out. But we might get one or two more people on Raw or SmackDown. And, I think we saw from the Battle Royal tonight, or at least the people on the roster who weren't in the Battle Royal and weren't on the show and weren't at Samoa Joe, they probably don't want to buy any green bananas.
That's a good way to put it.
All right. Yeah, let's see who we have here. Okay. I know we had somebody. All right, let's see who's been on hold the longest. Okay, 845. What the heck? 773 area code. Boris from Chicago. Hello. Boris, are you awake? Boris, are you awake? Never mind. All right. We'll move on then. Let's go ahead over to... Okay, the 985 area code. Who the heck is that? I don't know. Well, let's find out. 985 area code. You're on the live cast with Pat and Greg. Hello.
Pat and Greg, how are you guys doing? This is Cody from Thibodaux, Louisiana.
Hey, Cody. What's going on?
Nothing much. I just wanted to comment a little bit about tonight. I thought that the show was solid from start to almost finished. The idea to start off with Shane versus AJ, I thought it was pretty clever. I actually thought the match was very good. I was, not disappointed. And then the Goldberg and Brock Lesnar match was also like almost exactly what I expected it to be, and I was very pleased with that. I thought it was going to go maybe 7 to 10 minutes. It actually ended up being almost 5 minutes, but with the way that the match was booked, I was very pleased with how it went. To be quite honest, the Roman Reigns and Undertaker match, it started out okay, but then, like Greg was saying earlier, like around towards that point in time where you couldn't get that reverse tombstone up, I think it just went down here from there. And in my honest opinion, I thought it was garbage. Because first of all, with the way that Roman Reigns was booked the past few months, I don't see how it would have warranted him getting a spot at the last match of WrestleMania, even if it was Undertaker's last match. I thought that with the way that the Goldberg and Brock Lesnar match was booked, especially with the way that they had been hyping it for months and months and months, I thought that that match should have gone on last. And and personally, I just don't think that Roman Reigns was the... I don't think he should have been the right guy to face The Undertaker. I agree that it should have been against John Cena, especially with, you have two of the most top guys in the past, however many years that they both been in the company together, and that you haven't really seen much of a program between those two guys. And I thought that that would have been at least the more interesting match. And I wasn't much of a fan of Roman Reigns going over. It left a sour taste in my mouth. Then I thought that having the Goldberg and Brock Lesnar match go on, if that match had gone on towards the end, then I thought that that would have alleviated that sour taste in my mouth. But that was probably the only blemish on this year's WrestleMania. I would have probably given it B plus or close to A minus. I was really excited about the Hardys being on the show. I just mostly wanted to get my thoughts out about, what went on tonight.
Okay, and in my preview column, Greg, I looked at everything and said I figured that Goldberg and Lesnar was probably the best choice to go on last. And I stand by that. although, you know, I mean, it would have been hard. It would have been difficult to follow Undertaker, you know, having his last match and putting down his gear.
Yeah, and you got to take the emotions of the crowd into perspective as well. If you know that this is going to be Taker's last match and you're going to do the post-match that they did, if you put that anywhere but in the last match, the emotion of the crowd is not going to come back up after that. You know, after seeing a guy like The Undertaker walk away, seeing him, you know, walk into almost literally the sunset, a few hours, a little late for that. But it's hard to bring the crowd back after something as emotional as that. So that's tough. Look, I'm totally on the Cena-Taker bandwagon. I thought that should have been a match. I've been pounding the table for that match for a couple years now. So I agree that I think that should have been the match, if not here, then years before. But once the decision was made for Roman Reigns to go against Undertaker, and once the decision was made that this was likely, if not for sure, going to be Undertaker's last match, I had no problem with that going on the main event, and I had no problem with Roman Reigns winning. I think it would have looked silly to have Undertaker, even in the shape he was in tonight, beat a guy like Roman Reigns, who's been, you know, realistically pushed as somewhat of an unstoppable force in WWE. To see Taker in the shape he was in tonight and to have him win, I thought would have been pretty damaging to Reigns.
Okay.
Yeah, and I get that, and if like, and also, you know, just thinking about it now, it probably would have taken into account, you know, what Undertaker's decision for himself and for his career and what that might have been if he wanted to go out the way that he, if he wanted to go out that way, obviously that should be respected. I think the way that I look at it, I just don't really see it much of a win for Roman Reigns either way, because either way, he's not going to, I don't really see crowd giving, like, lots of crowds giving him much sympathy over whether or not he won or lost. I mean, if he had lost, I think crowds would still heckle him a little bit, but at least then there would be a small chance of maybe him slightly, you know, him getting over and getting more respect from the crowd, especially the smart crowd. But I think now with him winning, I think it's going to be a lot harder for him to, you know, to earn that trust from at least those types of fans. I don't know. Do you guys think that he'll still get at least, you know, a little bit of good vibes from the fans?
I don't know.
He's in a tough position coming off this match. Because even the strongest Reigns supporters coming off a match where he beats The Undertaker in Undertaker's last match, wrestlers in WWE don't get more revered by the fans than The Undertaker right now. And it's going to be tough, I think, for him, at least in the next few weeks going forward, for even his strongest fans to give him a strong babyface reaction, because he's going to be known as the guy who, you know, deserve it or not, he's going to be the guy who retired The Undertaker at WrestleMania. I think that'll be a feather in his cap down the line, and something he'll want to, when he toots his own horn, that's something he's going to want to bring up. But in the short term, I think it might be tough to come off as a babyface after that.
Yeah, I totally get that. I think, like, it'll be even much more harder for him moving forward. I'm preparing myself to expect that for the next few weeks he's going to get Vicky Guerrero like heat. So, thank you guys so much for taking my call. I hope you try to get as much sleep as you can. Thank you all for covering WrestleMania this weekend.
Okay, well, listen, thank you very much for calling in, Cody. We're about to go off of the air here, and I don't think we'll be able to continue for much after that. Thank you, everybody who called in. I'm sorry that so many of you waited on hold and couldn't get through. Greg, what can we expect tomorrow on Raw? I mean, the Hardys will be there. Roman will be there. We'll probably hear from Brock Lesnar.
Pure unadulterated madness is what I'm expecting tomorrow night on Raw.
Well, that's the crowd. But yeah, I'd expect that too. Okay. Yeah, and that's the part I'm looking forward to the most, I think.
Well, WWE has co-opted this night after WrestleMania Raw. It's in their WWE 24/7 or WWE 24 show on the network, so they're going to make sure it's special.
I hated that show. It made me like Enzo Amore again. It's horrible.
Oh,
all right, guys. Listen, I want to thank everybody who tuned in tonight and thank Greg for staying up with me. We started a little late, got to as many of you as we can. Call in, join Wade tomorrow for the Raw post game show. In the meantime, we have our announcer to tell you all about the wonders of PW Torch VIP membership, pwtorch.com/govip. So listen closely, and we'll talk to you some other time.
As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday Morning Wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big-name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. This is live.